which is up around sort of the Galilee sort of area, and then to go and bring the same message of good news, of repentance and salvation, the kingdom of God, and what it means to know God and live for him, and to bring that message along with works and power and encouragement to all the people around. So the disciples have gone and they've done that, and they've seen the effect that God's word, when it moves in power through them, can have. People have heard and they've been encouraged. And funnily enough, when they come back, there's a whole crowd's worth of people, even bigger than it was before, have followed the disciples back to where Jesus is, and they want to hear more. They want to hear and meet with Jesus. They want to see for themselves what this man of God is about, and they want to follow him and learn more about what he has to teach. So the disciples try and... Jesus and the disciples try and sort of get a bit of time for themselves to just reflect and rejoice and be thankful for what God has done through that process. But the crowds follow them. And Jesus teaches and he heals and he does what he's been doing. And people are hungry to hear what he has to say and bring their needs to him. And he blesses them. But it goes on for a long time during the day. And it's getting towards dinner time, and where people need to start getting back. So there's a few options that they've got in terms of dismissing people and sending people to the surrounding villages. The disciples trying to sort of scratch around and try and find some food from places. But Jesus turns it into an opportunity to show his amazing power and to show who he is and what his ministry and his life was about. And through this, again, he builds the faith and the confidence of his disciples. And I'd encourage you, if you get opportunity this week, to read on in Luke chapter 9, to see the response of faith that the disciples have to this particular episode in Jesus' life and ministry. So that's a bit of background. That's a bit of context. I could talk and waffle on and talk loads of nonsense about this, but it's probably better that you hear from somebody that was there, possibly, sort of, maybe. Sean.
You have to pretend I'm a shepherd, okay? Well, I'm a normal sort of guy from Bethsaida. Not much goes on around us, besides fishing. One day, a neighbour told me about a teacher he'd heard. He said this teacher was amazing. My neighbour had heard he was back in town and that if we hurried, we'd be able to hear him speak. We rushed off a bit out of town and found where he was. What an amazing teacher. He was called Jesus. And instead of giving more rules to follow or being really angry about the Romans, he talked about the kingdom of God being in how we live for God day to day. He told us about how much God loves us and how kind God is. He told us how to live God's way, to be kind to others, and how life could have so much more joy when we do this. He told us to turn to God, say sorry for the things we'd done wrong, and that God would transform our lives. The way he said it made knowing God sound so simple and so joyful. He had power from God too. People were coming to him ill and being healed. Dozens and dozens of people. Some people started to think Jesus might be the rescuer that God was going to send us. I could have listened to him all day. And in fact, we did. We wanted to stay and hear more. But it was getting late, and we needed to go back and get some food. There was no way that everyone could get fed where we were. Someone in the crowd offered their packed lunch, but it wouldn't have fed anyone besides him, really. Jesus blessed the food and started handing it out, as though it was going to go around everyone. But then the food started coming around. We ate. More kept getting passed. We ate what we needed and passed the leftovers on. Everyone had what they needed. And there was so much left over. It was like Jesus had made it from nothing, a miracle. Thousands of hungry tummies filled by God's powerful kindness. It was around Passover, So I'd been thinking a lot about how God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt and blessed us so much. Every year, we look forward to when God will send his rescuer to save us fully and completely. When our ancestors were wandering around in the desert, God sent them bread to eat for every day. He gave them bread created out of nothing, just because of his kindness and love. Without it, we wouldn't be here now. Maybe this was a sign telling us that Jesus was going to rescue us like God did from Egypt. Maybe he was going to give us all we ever needed from God. Maybe he was going to save us from all the things that hold us back from knowing God. From that day, I decided to keep following this Jesus.
Oh, look. Oh. Oh, look, it's Skeptical Steve.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Doing all right, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. You remind me of Chris Dyson.
Who's that?
Oh, never mind.
So, hang on a minute. You're a Christian, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah? I was reading about this feeding of the 5,000 thing in the Bible. What? You don't actually believe that really happened, do you? Like, just bread from nothing? Like, that's breaks the laws of physics, right?
Yeah, I do, actually. Well, why not?
Well, it's the laws of physics. You can't just make something from nothing, can you? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, you know, God is the creator of the universe. He made everything, including the laws of physics. And he made those laws of physics so we could understand the world and see how awesome God is. And he can break those laws if he wants to communicate something special to us.
I suppose so, yeah.
But perhaps you're asking the wrong question.
Really?
I think the more interesting question is, why did Jesus choose to multiply the bread and the wine to feed the 5,000?
That is a good question. Why did he do it then?
Well, since you ask. Well, Jesus is trying to show us a few different things. So, firstly, Jesus is showing that he is God and he has divine power to do miracles.
All right.
Yeah. Also, I believe Jesus is he's doing this at the time of Passover, when the people he was speaking to would have been thinking about bread in terms of God's divine rescue, taking the Israelites out of Egypt from slavery to freedom. Mm. And he's indicating to us that he wants to rescue us, and an even greater rescue from sin, and taking us to freedom in God and a relationship with God.
Ah, awesome. Cool.
and you know, whilst I'm on a roll, another thing.
Go on.
I think Jesus is also showing us God's character, right? Because Jesus turns up and he cares about these people who he sees are hungry, and he's showing us that God is a God of love, who cares deeply. He's a God of generosity and compassion.
All right, okay. I think I sort of understand, but hang on a minute. So, if I get this right, God loves everybody and is really kind and compassionate and wants to help people out in need. Yeah?
Yeah.
But God is also God of the universe who made the laws of physics and can break them if he wants, right?
Sure, yeah, that's also true.
So why doesn't God, when he sees somebody that's hungry, just make food for them? Why does he just go, all right, famine, bread and fish, boom.
Sure,
Or drought, bread and fish, boom. Off you go. What?
Yeah, of course. It's really,
why doesn't he do that every day?
Yeah, no, totally fair question. It's a really good question. I mean, think about this. Jesus could have made the bread and the wine out of nothing, right?
Mm.
But he chose to start with somebody's packed lunch.
All right.
And what this is God wants us to share his heart for the poor and for those in need, those who are hungry.
Mm.
And so we're part of that. Our job is also to be part of that restoration and healing that God wants.
Mm.
And when we give what little we have, God multiplies it. And so there's a sense in which the miracle of the 5,000 is something that continues on and on. As each of us gives what we can, God multiplies it for good, for his purposes.
That's really cool. I never really thought about it like that before. Apologies, I've got to get heading off. I need to go get some stuff done.
No worries. Which way are you going?
I was going to go that way. Where are you?
I'm going that way too. Do you want to walk and talk?
That sounds great.
Yeah, excellent.
What's in your bag?
This is a few things for the food bank.
Ah, cool. Yeah. Tell me about that as we go. Apologies for the rapid costume change. So it's an amazing passage, the feeding of the 5,000. There's so much in there, and really, as we were preparing for this morning, there are a few things that really stood out as things that maybe God is saying to us this morning through it. The first is God saying who he is in Christ. It's saying that God is the wonderful creator who cares and loves his creation and his people deeply, and wants to bless us and provide for our needs. And so there's an encouragement that if maybe that's something that you need to receive from God this morning, and to understand that Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is God who came as a person to bless and save and to heal. Maybe what you need to hear this morning is that fulfillment of all of those promises in the Old Testament about God coming to save and rescue his people, all finding their fulfillment in Jesus. Jesus being what was promised all along. And maybe that confidence in who Jesus is as our Saviour and as our Lord is something that you need to receive this morning. Maybe it's that you feel a real sense of the needs of our community, the needs of our world, and feel powerless to be able to do much about them. Maybe it's an encouragement that we need to hear this morning, that what we bring and what we offer to God in our giving, in our ministry and our life as a church, in the love that we show each other, is something that even though what we bring is small, God can take it and make it something amazing. Maybe that there's something particularly on your heart and on your mind this morning that you'd like to bring before God. So whether it's one of those things or whether God has been speaking to you in a different way through that passage, we're just going to have a moment or two of quiet. Just bring what you need to before God. Speak to him, listen to him, whatever it is that you need to do. And I'll draw us together in a minute. Let's pray.